somewhere around Inman, Lyman, isn't it? Something like that. Anyways, we're heading back from Spartanburg.
Careful out there on the road with David on his way around. W2T said that, and I'm sitting at home still.
He knows that will be around me when I'm driving.
Sitting out really with my Avalon, it kind of humiliates him, Rusty.
Why would it do that? You mean you'd be, because you could run away from him or run over him? Either one, probably.
Well, I could just outrun him.
Whatever.
Hey, I had a guy pull up in a new, I think it was a Range Rover, and boy, that thing was, it was gorgeous. And, I don't know, that thing must have had about 800 horsepower. He started off the bottom of the hill, down, I can't remember the crossroad, but anyways, where they built the new Sphinx down here in Taylor's on the way to Hampton. And man, I didn't even try to race him. I just started off like a little old lady. And, man, he went flying up that hill. I bet he was doing 100 miles an hour by the time he got 3/4 of the way up that hill. I've never seen anything move so fast.
Seen a Range Rover with that much horsepower? Was it something he built up or something, Dave?
Brand new. I mean, it looked like it just rolled off the showroom, and it was a real deep burgundy. Kind of had a metal flake in it, and. And you could even see it had chrome rims, but it had just a teeny bit of that red in it, just enough where the car's color pulled that red out of the rims. It was really a sight to see. And then to see it go up that hill, I was like, my goodness, what in the world? So, but there's a lot of vehicles out there that can outrun this Mustang.
Hey, Tom.
Go ahead, Rusty.
Yeah, you need, if you want to see something, go to Range Rover, go online and look at their new vehicles. They have put out a new line of vehicles, and don't choke when you get to the prices on them, but try not to have your mouth full of food because you might choke on it. But go look at it. They have put out some new stuff out there that is gorgeous and also expensive and also... going against this new deal that they want all of these electric vehicles out there, these new Range Rovers won't fit into that, I guarantee you.
Do they tell you what the horsepower is on this thing?
Yep, you can go read it all online.
Well, I'm curious.
Since I looked at that, because I was looking for something else about Range Rovers, and it's been a month, and I don't remember exactly what all of them said, but they've got some horsepower in some of those new Range Rovers. That's for darn sure. I'll be back in a minute. W2T, go ahead, Tom.
This is N0TR. Yeah, I'm sure you're correct, Rusty. Those people got more money than they got since, so. Because I know those are probably up around 100,000 and up. But unless you're going on a safari in Africa or something, I really don't see that they're worth the money. Go ahead, Dave.
They're nice vehicles. I've ridden in them. I've worked on them. But the parts are, even the ones I worked on, that's been 8 years ago, the parts were outrageously expensive. In fact, it's probably been 10 or 12 years ago, I put a brake caliper on one for my service. He was the service department director, or whatever you call him, service manager. And I did it in my driveway for him, and just one caliper was at least 12 years ago. And, you know, back then, you could get a caliper for a Ford for probably $45, $50, you know, so, and when it came, it was painted gold. I said, oh, that's why it costs so much. It's made out of gold.
I was waiting to see if Rusty got back. Yeah, like you say, those with the gold make the rules. I want to get my neighbor to put a set of the calipers and then the disc. I guess you call it the rotors, yeah. Renisha had to tell me that, boy. And I just as soon have him do it as Toyota. And he says that they really stick it to you on those when you go down to the dealership and get them. But I thought they'd be something special for that Avalon. And he said, no. He says, you just want to buy high-quality ones, Tom. But he says, as far as changing them, he says, I can change them right here in my garage, easy as pie. And they just put a set on a big Dodge truck for his son-in-law. And he's the one that's got the Camaro on that other Buick there, Dave. So I'm sure he knows how. But he says they're not too hard to do at all.
They aren't difficult. I've done a bunch of them. You know, you just have to believe the brakes when you get through and you start with the one furthest from the brake reservoir, the master cylinder, and bleed it first, and it usually takes about three or four times bleeding it before you, to get the air out of them. What I do is I used to fill up the caliper with brake fluid and then put it on, and that way you didn't have as much air to pump out.
Said that you didn't even have to bleed them. He just clamps them back. I guess you call it the pads, the things that grab the disc, and just lift it out of the way and pull the rotor off and replace the rotors instead of getting them turned or something. If you're doing it yourself, I think you're probably just as well off just to replace them. Well, this car's got 72,000 miles on it, and it's 10 years old. So I'm not sure that they're bad, but I don't like the way that when you press down on the brakes coming down the mountains and that it kind of, I call it shimmies. And occasionally under the right circumstances when you press down on it. But he said that could easily be the analog brake system, too.
When you come down a mountain, you need to use your transmission and not your brakes. You need to gear it down and keep your speed down that way. And you might have to touch your brakes every now and then, but they'll heat up real fast and they'll warp those rotors. And that's the pulsation you're feeling in the pedal, especially. You know, the faster you go, like if you're driving on the highway and you have to slam on brakes, man, you'll really feel it. The faster those rotors are turning, the more pulsation you'll feel. And but use your transmission to keep your speed down and stay off the brake pedal as much as you can in the mountains.
What do you do when you got a automatic transmission, Dave? You wouldn't want to gear it down, would you, coming down the hill?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's made for. And if you don't have a manual mode, you should be able to pull it back. You should be able to select like 1, 2, 3 like that, and you know, just pull it back and watch your RPMs. You don't want to get your RPMs way up there, but when you're on the highway, you're probably running about 2,500 RPMs, 70 miles an hour. But and you can rev it up a good bit higher than that. You can rev it up to about 35 with your transmission before you have to tap your brakes and slow yourself down.
Well, I'm just looking here. It looks like there was a patrol car sitting out here on Gap Creek, but he's not running radar. I hadn't thought about doing that with the automatic. Of course, I've drove a lot of manual transmissions in the past, and with them. But I don't let it get away from me that far coming down the mountains. I just ease up on the brakes now and then and try to keep it under the speed limit there. But now and then, when you're coming down there and you get to rolling pretty good, it'll kind of shimmy a little bit. And it's not really a shimmy like in the old days. It's just the pulsation of them. But I just think routine maintenance, 70,000, that ought to be about time to change them hand today. This is N0TR.
Motors, mainly there's a couple things you look for, but if you're driving, if you're test driving the car, you look for the pulsation, and you can feel it at lower speeds too. If you pay attention to, and that, and then the thickness. A lot of rotors, they'll wear. Just almost as fast as the pad does, and the pad's got so much metal in it, it's actually, chewing away at the rotors bit by bit, and you have to check the thickness on the back of the rotor. It'll have the stamped in millimeters, the minimum thickness, and you can use a dial caliper to measure that and see if you're at the minimum.
Sounds right on. Well, Dave, I'm going to let you go. Looks like it's getting dark out in the west there, in the southwest. We're nearing the QTH, and thanks for all the information. Good to hear you. Well, there may not be a dang thing wrong, because I don't feel any pulsation at all when I'm just driving normally. But I didn't like the feel of that coming down the mountains, which I'm going to apply the brakes a little bit now just to see there's nobody behind us. No, I don't get any pulsation. And we're turning onto our street. So I'll just have Tim check them one of these days, and I'm sure he'll look at them for me. I had Sam's Garage look at them a couple of years ago. And they said they were just fine. It was an analog braking system, but I don't know. I don't mind doing routine maintenance, anything involved with safety. Tim said it's 70% front brakes and 30% back, so he said there wouldn't be anything wrong with the back brakes. He says, I just changed the front ones, Dave.
Depends on the vehicle, but that's about right. The front brakes do most of the work. And I had an oil change ago, about 7,500 miles ago. Took my wife's Toyota in, and because they do free oil change for her vehicle since we bought it there, and they told her she needed front and rear brakes. She said, okay, well, I'll have my husband look at it. And I said, I looked at them, and I've got a gauge that we used at the dealership, and it gives you a green thickness, which means they're okay, and then there's a yellow, which means they're okay, but you need to watch them. And then there's red, which if they're thinner than the red, then they need to be replaced. And these things were all thicker than the green. And they were just, I mean, they were just trying to rip her off and, you know, do something that she didn't need to have done. It just really ticks me off.
And, you know, that's just not right. But I think, in reality, they try to take more advantage of a woman than they do a man. They always have. So it's good that you could check them for her. Yeah, I got all that, those kind of tools, the mics and vernier calipers. I even got a Brown and Sharp that'll measure down in the tenths of a thousandth. But at any rate, Dave, we've arrived here at home, and I'll let you go, and I gotta go out and feed the cockeyed chickens, and it's just too hot for man or beast, but I better get out there and get that done. It's 86 degrees, and Bernice is sitting here very patiently. What's that?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave.
And 73 is Dave, KB4CBA, and 0CR is clear.
Hey, Bernice. I hope you're doing well. All right. Well, I'm at the sports club. I'm getting ready to play some tennis. So, y'all have a good evening. And a good talk to you, as always. And 0TRKP4CBA, clear.
TFW Mobile.
4HKX Mobile.
KN4TFW.
Hope you had a good day today.
Yeah, mine was good. How about yours?
And it's a little warm for my taste, but it is summertime down here.
Hey, wait a minute. Now, it ain't summer until the 20th.
It's above 80 degrees, it's summer.
I hear you on that one.
Patrick and 4DJC.
How are you today?
Got my check engine light. Checked on today. I took it down that day. Engine light wasn't open. They put it on the machine and didn't know codes came up. Had the oil change anyway. Needed it. But they charged me for putting it on the machine, which is good. That's one thing about dealing with the guy I've dealt with for years, independent guy. They'll try to take you for a ride anyway. At least they have so far.
That check engine light been on?
Well, I guess it's been on probably about 4 or 5 days. And when it first came on, I thought it might be where I just put some gas in it, left the cap loose, but the cap was nice and tight. And like I said, when my wife cranked up this morning, took it out of the garage, it didn't, the engine light wasn't on there, but they went in and put it on the machine anyway, checked it, and didn't come up with any codes. I guess that's good.
Still had a history code in there. It doesn't clear for until 40 key cycles with no fault. It'll turn the light off after 3 drive cycles with no fault, but it remains in the memory for 40.
And like I said, they put it on the machine and didn't come up with any codes. At least that's what they told me. So, what's put on the paper? So, I don't know what the problem was. I ought to ask them, but that's what they said they did anyway.
Went out, it means the problem's not there right now. So, hopefully, you can find out before too long what it was, and it's nothing major.
I figured it might be. I'd be something with a fuel mix or something, because I put some high test in it, and like I said, I might not have closed the gas cap all the way up. I went back and rechecked it again, tightened it up, you know, 4 or 5 notches. But we just had a service on it last year, and they checked everything, didn't come up with anything, and we just haven't driven it much. We don't. My wife drives around town a little bit, and that's about all we drive that thing. I think it's got, it's 15... 16 years old, we got about 75,000 miles on it.
Drive much, do you?
Some other cars, they used to put about 250,000 miles on them. But The last one I put about, I used to put about 15,000-20,000 miles on the other one, 15,000 a year on the other one. I don't drive, we don't drive as much as we used to, though, by a long shot.
Still in there?
Just riding and listening. You guys go on.
Back in, Ken. I just want to say hello to Patrick. I'd like to follow up on that battery and see if that thing comes back on again. I'll let you guys carry on. I just want to say hi to both of you. M4DJC clear.
You ain't got to go on my account. You're good. And we can get all get in here and talk. I'm just riding to the house.
Yeah, Jared, ain't no point running off. Hang around. We'll just talk here for a little bit. Because I can tell Ken's pretty close to his house because he sent me on the simplex.
I'm waiting on my wife to get back from the grocery store. Got air front loaded groceries. There shouldn't be too many. We don't eat a lot either. Don't drive a lot or eat a lot. But she has some staples she had to pick up. So, some stuff. But it looks like the stores are starting to start back up again. Just the building supply thing is a big deal. They're still out of looking for some lumber. It's just too expensive for me to pick up any right now.
Building a house until they can settle down a little bit.
Everything right now is just stupidly ridiculous. It's just, I don't know how much longer we can carry on like this.
Especially with no workforce, I don't know how people are going to continue on.
Directors will wind up going under before it's over with, as they have to pay people what they don't like they wanted to do for what they were doing for half of that price before. So they'll either just do the drive-throughs or carry out, and won't be any sit-down service to amount to anything.
Find anybody that'll work as a waiter or a waitress anymore. That's why they're shutting most drive-throughs down or dine-in places down.
Heck, we can't even find anybody. We're looking for somebody to run a machine. You don't have to have really any experience. Entry level is $19 and something to start.
Pretty good money in my book. Gene First was a cutoff on that extra benefits here in South Carolina, so that'll eventually bring people back in. But so many people out there that are looking, that want any of that got a customer not working now. Some of them just aren't going to work at all unless they have to. And the people really need it, they won't get it. But the people that don't need it, they get it. You know how that goes.
Well, think about how hard it is for you to go back to work after you've had a week, 2 week vacation. We're no good for 2 or 3 days at least till we get back in the swing of things. They've had almost 2 years off.
I know the daughter-in-law, she's been off for a little while, and that, and the son, he hadn't, just because he hadn't wanted to, he hadn't worked in about 6 or 7 years, I don't think.
Been working through the whole thing. He hadn't stopped. They didn't close down, and he had lost a day. They didn't work for 5 days a week. They only opened six. He works about, they're open 6 days. Yeah, they're open 5 days a week now, I guess. They closed on Mondays and Sundays, so he gets a couple of days off. But he works other days. They're having a hard time. They get some people back in there now, but they had a hard time finding people. But all this stimulus stuff is kind of winding down, and this time of year until dove season and deer season opens up again, it's going to be kind of slow for them, slower, I guess.
Furloughed for 4 months last year, and that's the longest I've had off in a row since I was a teenager.
Hey, missed none. My son hadn't missed any work, and I got a buddy that owns a repair shop right up here in Hendersonville. He's offering 30 plus an hour for a qualified technician. Can't find anybody.
Can't find anybody qualified. They all probably want $50 an hour, I guess.
Can't even get anybody to come to work.
Hey, good. He's already got a decent job, right? KN4 TFW.
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable the money they're throwing at people to get them to come to work. Wendy's up here in Hendersonville, it's work today, pay today. That, you ain't even got to wait a week to get a paycheck. And I've heard McDonald's is giving a sign-on bonus. So, I mean, what are you going to do when the fast food places are doing this kind of stuff?
Place by robotics, probably.
I saw one on Facebook there. Company was advertising $19 an hour to start, $1,500 sign-on bonus, and when you got trained up, you were up in like $31, $32 an hour and struggling to find anybody.
The thing is that most of these places are willing to train somebody and if they'll just show up for work on a regular basis, just come to work.
Crazy, isn't it? I mean, what are those people doing? I mean, if they're going to unemployment, that unemployment is going to run out. What are they living on? I mean, that's crazy.
A UPS driver, he can't make it 5 days in a row to save his life.
Had one package delivery in the last week and a half. And I order stuff every day.
Make pretty good money, don't they?
Is they're making good money with really good benefits.
I'm too old to drive a truck now. I guess I'd probably run all over curbs and mailboxes and everything else. But that there wasn't a time very far, great long ago. I'd pick up and do something for $30 an hour, just about anything. I mean that's good money for not having to work, worry about something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Generation, you know, the company's going to train you, so it's not like you got to have a skill, you know what I mean, to get there.
I don't know what we're going to do. I have lost, I think I lost 7 or 8 customers last week. They either moved out of my area to different places or to different jobs because they could make more money because they didn't want to invest in their skill level.
Say something, I mean, it's... That's just sad, I guess. I mean, this boom ain't going to go on forever. I mean, regardless of what people say, as soon as people start realizing this inflation's going to be eating up everything they got, they'll have a rude awakening sometime in the future.
Hey, we're the ones going to pay the consequence for it.
Generation quits working, retires, man, we're going to be so screwed or they're going to be so screwed. There won't be any of them that know how to do anything.
God forbid you have a water leak or a little plumbing emergency at the house. I mean, they won't know how to do nothing.
That go down. Boy, then you really something.
And they go crazy then, won't they?
It too is their communication skills. If you ever try to talk to one or joke with one, you can't because they're so used to texting and using their thumbs to do all their talking. They're just, I mean, offended at everything. For HKX Friday. Hey guys, I'm going to step aside just a second. I'm going to run and grab me a cold drink for the ride home. I'll be right back.
3, I'm about to pull in the subdivision. I'll be gone by the time you get back. So I enjoyed it. So I'll say 73.
Okay, well, good talking to you.
Yeah,
appreciate it. DJC Friday.
Girl, you have a good one, and I'll catch you maybe tomorrow afternoon.
Before HKX Mobile.
Back on the road again.
290, up to 25 now.
Busy part. Yeah, I was just reading about the light. Yeah, I see what you're talking about now about the drive cycle thing. I'll do it because it looks at different things. My cold starting to do a warm start, so I'll check some other stuff and when we come back on again. I'll make sure the. Make sure everything is okay, so that may be, I don't have any idea what it could have been, but But it could be anything there. I'll take a close look at it. If it does it, would you think it'd do it again if it goes through the cold cycle start again, like tomorrow or the next day?
What it was, like I said, if it was just after you put that 93 octane in there, it probably had something to do with it, because it's trying to retard the timing or advance the timing to compensate for that extra fuel. And if the ethanol content gets off, the sensors in there that monitor all that, they could be out of whack for a little bit or just out of range of what they should be, and it'll turn that light on. But now that it's not on, tells you that the car is running like it should if it went out on its own. I wouldn't be too alarmed about it until it comes back on again.
I suspected it might have been that, because it didn't come on until we filled it up one night and haven't put any gas in since then. I don't think we filled it up again since then. We could have the other day, but I don't think we did. Anyway, it came on not long after that. But we don't drive that car very much at all. We were doing the fuel thing. We had a problem with the fuel thing a few weeks ago. We just let it sit there and didn't drive it, kind of keeping it as a rainy day type thing. But I did, like I said, I did have to put 93 octane in it at least one time, maybe twice. And that very well may be on what it is, because it seems to be running okay, and I don't see anything else that might be a problem with it. Nothing has been, they checked everything a year ago, but we'll see what it does. If it comes back on again, it hadn't been flashing or anything like that. It just came on. And it's done that a time or two, and it was the last time I think it did. It's been several years ago. And the guy I took it to, it's the same guy said it was a fuel sensor, because it was still on when we took it down there then.
Seeing what, how little it'll take to turn the check engine light on in a car nowadays. The threshold's so tight on the tolerances of what it can have wrong with it before it turns it on, that it's pretty amazing that they run it all without a light coming on.
To check it, I'll get a little more further. Let's go back with the vehicle, what all they're doing. But it just don't, like, it doesn't have that many, didn't have that much mileage on. But the age has a lot to do with some of that stuff too. And sometimes the age gets the better of you when you start dealing with stuff like that, because those components just, they fail or get where they're not out of tolerance and that sort of thing. I imagine that may have something to do with it too. We'll keep an eye on it. If it comes on again, I'll be sure and get it someplace in a hurry to let them take a look at it while it's still on. So I have to remember that. I remember now about the, I will remember that about the drive cycle, though, because that is, I didn't realize it turned off after so many drive cycles.
Said if it's not on, I wouldn't worry too much about it until it comes on again. When it goes out like that on its own, it means the code's not present or the problem's not present for at least 3 consecutive key cycles, so. But generally, that code's stored in there for at least 40 after that to let you give you a chance to get somewhere and have it repaired.
Okay. I don't remember what day it came on now, but it had been on a... Like I said, we hadn't driven it much, so it came on, I think it was probably about a week ago, but like I said, we hadn't driven that car. I don't think we've driven it more than once since then, because I let it sit rather than drive it until I could get it. And then when these guys down here said it'd be next week before they could get to it, I said, my wife's got to go to Greenland car Friday morning, so I didn't want to check, make sure everything was okay with it. We'll keep an eye on it next couple of days to go down Saturday and see if it pops back on again. Well, I got to run downstairs. I think my wife should be home in a few minutes anyway. I'm going to have a better help unload the groceries so she don't start hollering at me. Back to Covio, good afternoon. Good talking to you. Be safe on the way home, young man. 73 in 4DJC.
Jerry, you take care and go help your wife there. And it's good talking to you this afternoon, 732. And this is KO4HGX, and I'll be mobile and monitoring.